Okay, so continuing where we left off in terms of Chalash Yesh Besakana, even if you have a situation where you've met the qualifications of a Chalash Yesh Besakana, what are you allowed to do for the Chalash Yesh Besakana? So the Chora, what you're allowed to do is whatever the doctor says, whatever the medical necessity is. So there's a Chiddush Gadol that appears in the Magid Mishnah, Perbeis Nechol Shabbos, the Magid Mishnah writes, that once we've ascertained that the person is a Chalash Yesh Besakana, so you're allowed to do Kol Tzarchov. And even if those tzrachim are not even medically mandated, so let's say, for example, it'll make the chala feel a little better to have a good bowl of hot soup. Is it going to improve on his medical condition? Probably not, or definitely not. It doesn't matter. Since on a Tuesday, to make him feel a little better, you give him a bowl of soup. So you're allowed to cook him a bowl of soup. You're allowed to malacha deraisa, because once he's called the chala sheish b'sakana, so called tzrachim are considered to be permissible. It's a chiddush gadol from the Magid Mishnah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Magid Mishnah. He can't believe that other Rishonim say it. He thinks that most of the Rishonim don't accept such an idea. He thinks that we have no right to be making on the deraisa based on this svara. But notwithstanding what the Mishnah Berurah says, let's quote the Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim thought that the Ikra didn't really like the Magid Mishnah. The Brisker Rav quotes from his father that was the reason for the famous psak of Reb Chaim on Yom Kippur. You know, the Shulchan Aruch tells us when you have a chelish yesh per sakon on Yom Kippur, you have to give him pachas b'kashir. You have to try to give him less than the shear of a drink. By lugma, but less than shiv kusav zagas of its food. So Reb Chaim says, but medivar b'mur that psach of the Shulchan Aruch is true that you have to give him pachas b'gishir if you can. If medically you can't, you can't. But the doctor says it's okay. So says Reb Chaim, that's only true if the person is not yet a chayla. So it means he's the kind of person who tends to dehydrate. So right now he's davening musaf for the yomim. Right now he's in perfectly good shape. But he's a person who tends to dehydrate, and the doctors have sized up that's going to be, he has the medical conditions that may lead him to day sakona. But right now he's not in the state of sakona. So the Reb Chaim says, Kozman, he's not yet chala and a gavra of a chalish yesh for sakona. Then and only then he required to feed him bachas b'shir. But the guy's in the hospital, the guy's in a serious medical condition right now. So right now he's already has the title, already wearing the hat of a chalish yesh for sakona. So Reb Chaim said there's no need to feed him bachas b'shir, you can feed him normally. The famous psach from Reb Chaim. So the Brisker Rav quotes that his father's psach was based on this Magid Mishnah that Reb Chaim held. That once the person has the title of a chalish yesh b'sakana, so you're allowed to do kol tzarchov. You're allowed to do whatever is tzarech ha'chayla. So to eat normally is tzarech ha'chayla. What we shugan on a regular Tuesday and a regular not Yom Kippur day would eat with chak glasses, a pachas brachas mishas meshugan. So that's called kol tzarech ha'chayla. So Reb Chaim's psach by Yom Kippur was predicated on the assumption that the Magid Mishnah is correct through Chashavas. So this is in contrast to the Mishnah Berurah. Reb Chaim has a lot of disagree with Mishnah Berurah. Machlokes with Mishnah Berurah and Reb Chaim about should we accept this Magid Mishnah or not. So Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Shmuel Shabbos Yochasa saying that even according to the Magid Mishnah, Yigul Yesh B'Dover, that Bamedavar Mamurim, the Magid Mishnah said what he said, that's what it's Mamish Tzorche Achoyla. So it doesn't have to be medical Tzorche Achoyla, but it has to be physical Tzorche Achoyla. What if it's just, Shlomo Zalman doesn't use these terms, but that's what he described, what if it's just Ritzaynis Achoyla? The chayla's got some ratzon. He's laying in bed in the hospital. He's bored. He wants to turn on the TV. So again, assuming he's going to watch the Agudas Yisrael convention, something. He's not watching anything inappropriate. So he wants to watch something. Wants to check his phone. So Shlomo Zalman says that's not included in the Magid Mishnah. That's what's called ritzayin sachal. That's not tzarech achayla. That doesn't count. It has to be some kind of a physical tzorech that will make him feel a little bit better, but it's not absolutely necessary medically. So again, whether or not we should follow this, Magid Mishnah is questionable. I think we didn't speak about this, but the stitches, no, there's no stitches. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is a famous kula when, let's say, you have a person who has to be stitched up because of the fear of infection. So a person got hurt, and then they take him to the hospital, and the doctor says he needs 3-4 stitches just to make sure, clean up, to make sure there's no infection. But we're not just going to do 3 stitches. We're going to do 25 stitches for cosmetic purposes. What gives us the right to do the extra stitches of anything? So Shlomo Zalman said that maybe we have a right to do the entire stitching because once the halach is kaveh that he's a chalish yesh per sakana vis-a-vis the infection, so then we're allowed to take care of him l'chol tzorchov. So kol tzorchov means whatever we do on a regular Tuesday. So on a Tuesday, we give him a bowl of soup. On a Tuesday, we give him 20 extra stitches, because that's what the normal medical protocol is, even though it's not absolutely necessary for Bruch Nefesh purposes. So Shom Zaman had a Chiddush, that maybe that would also be okay according to the Magen Mishnah. If that's the only Tzad L'Hokel, so we're weary about that. Mishnah Berurah is not so convinced that that's Shom Zaman for another reason. Shom Zaman, a famous Psak, that he thinks that maybe you can add on more stitches based on the Sugyas in the Masechta Shabbos about by Mitzitzin She'en Machveres Amila. So there's a din that when you do a mila on the Yom HaShemini B'Shabbos, so let's say the Moyo realizes that he didn't do such a good job. So he wants to go back an hour later. So the Gemara draws a distinction between whether it's Tzitzit HaMachlin and Tzitzit HaMachlin. If he left off part of the Ora Orla, that would invalidate the entire mila. So he didn't do the Mitzvah Mila yet. So of course he's allowed to go back. But if he already finished the mila, he just left off some of the Tzitzit. It doesn't look so good. It doesn't look so pretty. It doesn't look so nice. So the Gemara says that it depends. So if he's already pirish, if he already stopped what he's doing, wants to go back, stop, take off to do hidden mitzvah, then you have no right. Hidden mitzvah not midrash Shabbos. At least the way Samusha and read that Gemara. But if he's low pirish yet, he hasn't stopped yet, so then he's allowed to go back even for the tzitzit she'en ma'akvin. So how can he go back for the tzitzit she'en ma'akvin? It's not ma'akvin. It doesn't matter whether he goes back or not. It's just hidden mitzvah. All right, so you have to go back. So Korach, you see for that Gemara, that Kozman, that he hasn't finished the job yet, it's nichol in the original Echad Chil Shabbos. Kozman, that's called the Chada Maisa. So when it's Pirish, if you already finished, whatever Pirish means is the ultra Shaila, but Kozman should low Pirish, so we can still go back. So Shlomo Zalman said, that din has nothing to do with Mitzvah Smila, that has to do with your Kaveya of Maisa Chil Shabbos. So the Torah is Mata, Maisa Chil Shabbos, so it's Mata the entire Maisa. So Kozman, that the Maisa hasn't ended. So what's called the Maisa ending? Pirish. So over here, when the plastic surgeon is sewing up this stitches, so the first 5 stitches are Mutaral Spikruch Nefesh to make sure it doesn't get infected. Now the next 25 stitches are Kozman, the surgeon hasn't ended yet, he has been Pirish. So what's called Pirish? So in Uchaz Mila, we say even though he's still holding the knife, he's still working, he's still involved in the Yosef Isa, he hasn't closed up shop yet, so that's still considered to be low Pirish. So too for the surgeon, he's still involved, he's still stitching up. That's called low Pirish. That's also a loaded Kiddush. You have to learn the Sugyas and Shabbos carefully to see. That's probably Machlokes Rishonim, what Shlomo Zalman is saying. But that's the Bir HaDover, that's the fact that it's Chada Maisa, that we can extrapolate from Mila to Pikuach Nefesh. That's a loaded statement. Definitely that's looking properly. So Shlomo Zalman has the 2 Chidushim, they're both tremendous Chidushim. One could argue that maybe the whole stitching is not so bad anyway. You know, it's not so simple that stitching on Shabbos is a Malach of the Rice altogether. That it's not so clear that there's real Tefillah of the Rice about Or HaAdam. That's a whole other loaded question. So again, those who want to rely on Shlomo Zalman, can rely on Shlomo Zalman.
Not just Shlomo Zalman's second Kiddush, but using the support of the Magen Mishnah. Why would there? He also said previously that you can't do Ratzon Achola. He got sick because it's not called Sorach. But on a regular day of the week, if he's getting help from the doctor, sitting himself up, we would do. It doesn't matter whatever we would do for the Chola once he's a Chola. Is there anything you would do?
This is called Tzorach Echola. This is the normal medical protocol, is to stitch 20 stitches, not to stitch 5 stitches. So that's called Tzorach Echola. To give him to buy him a newspaper, turn on the TV or something, that's called Shlomo Tzorach Echola. That's called Ratzon Echola. But Rav Shlomo Zalman wanted to give you an example of what's a Ratzon, what's a Tzorach, so he gave you an example of buying a newspaper. He said, "Chi tirulo liknot iton b'shabbos." Shlomo Zalman didn't have on his radar screen such thing called TV, so he wouldn't even ask that kasha. So in America, we would ask that kasha: "Chi tirulo, turn on the TV, turn on the computer, turn on his phone." "Chi tirulo, that's ratzon, that's not tzorach." Okay, anyway, back to that story. So we have a chol sheish pesukana. So medically, that's not a good thing to be, but halachically, that's the best thing to be, because if you chol sheish pesukana, then we're going to be very, very make a feel. What if you're chol sheish pesukana? So you're officially a chayla. So Chol She'ein B'Sakana, we're not going to be matter deraisa for you, but we will be matter Amir Yaakov. That's a Beferish Gemara. That Amir Yaakov is mutter for Chol She'ein B'Sakana. Are there any other derabbanans that are mutter also? So that's a big machlekes Rishonim. So some Rishonim say that Amir Yaakov is just an example of a derabbanan, but all derabbanans are mutter. Chol She'ein B'Sakana, Chazal lifted Ali, Surim derabbanan, Misen Chol Shabbos. And many of the Rishonim say that's not true. Many of the Rishonim say no. You can't extrapolate from Amil Yaakov to other derabbanans. Amil Yaakov is much more kal because it's a shvus she'ein b'maisa. It's such a low level of derabbanan. You don't even do it in action. The Jew doesn't even do anything. These just words, it's asking a guy, how can you extrapolate from the to other Yisurim Darabon? So you have a machlokes, a Rishonim, and a Kotz HaLakotz. Some Rishonim say that Amir Yaakov is the example of all Darabon, and everything is Mutter B'Chalash Yerbisokana. Another Rishonim say no, that is a Davka Amir Yaakov, you cannot compare it to any other Yisurim Darabon. Then you have in the middle, different Rishonim say no, that maybe Amir Yaakov is an example, but maybe it's not the only example. Maybe there are other Darabonim that are also significantly more lenient, and those we do have a right to lift for Chodesh Ein B'Sakonis. What would be an example of those lower-level Darabonim? So there's a Ramban in Sefer Teres HaAdam, when the Ramban writes, that to do things Kaliach HaYad would also be acceptable. Why? Because Kaliach HaYad is also a very, very low-level Isser, because in the fact that with making you and insisting that you do Kaliach HaYad, that Gufa will serve as a heker. You're going to remember, oh, the rabbi told me I got to do it with my left hand, I got to do it with my feet, I got to do it with my mouth, I got to do it with my shirt to go away. So that Gufa will serve as a reminder not to violate Yisurim Deraisa. It would just matter all Yisurim Deraisa just like that. So then it's going to be a slippery slope. Not everyone's going to be so sophisticated to realize this is Derabban, this is Deraisa. And next thing you know, it's going to end up violating Deraisa. So Amir Yaakov is very, very kind of a matter. Shavuos of Kiryat Hayah, they were also matter. So there's a further question, what the Ramban meant exactly. When the Ramban said that they were matter, Kiryat Hayah, Derabban. So the Lashon Ramban is, they were matter, Kiryat Hayah, Derabban. So the Shulchan Aruch understood what the Ramban meant was as follows. That when you have an Issur that's already a Derabbanan, we're not going to be matter that, but if you do the Issur Derabbanan, kill Yachayad, so it's not like a shtickle double Derabbanan. So it's something that goof is only Derabbanan, and if you do that in a Meshuddika fashion, that far removed, that will going to be Megal. But says the Shukhamach Vedasa Ramban, what if you have a Deraisa, and you just turn it into a Derabbanan by just doing kill Yachayad? So you want to write kill Yachayad, you want to turn on a light kill Yachayad, you want to kill Yachayad. If it's something that itself would be a Nisa Deraisa, that would be a Deraisa. You're going to do a Kiliach HaYad, so the Shulchan Aruch says that even the Ramban would never concede to that. The Ramban only meant V'chi HaGavna that it was a Derabbanan square, a Derabbanan Kiliach HaYad. So the problem with that Shulchan Aruch is that that doesn't seem to be what the Ramban says at all. The Ramban in the Teres HaAdam seems to say Kimat B'Ferish against that. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting from a Tor, who's quoting from a Teres HaAdam book, and something got a little bit, in the process, got a little bit lost. Like you look at the original Ramban of Teres HaAdam, it's almost the Feirish that the Ramban is not there, even Deraisas, as long as they're done Kiliach HaYad. The problem is that, should we pass like this Ramban? So Shulchan Aruch is the source to say we follow this Ramban. Again, it's Machlokes Rishon. Some Rishonim say all Rabbans are Mutar, other Rishonim say no Rabban is except Kiliach HaMutar, and the Ramban's in the middle ground. So the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Yishin Kav Ches in Hilchos Shabbos is the one who says we have a right to follow the Ramban. The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch is telling we have a right to follow the Ramban, but his version of the Ramban is a very, very chumadika version of the Ramban. So now we want to go one step further than the Shulchan Aruch. We want to say, let's follow the, we'll take the, it's like Pagina Dibura. We're going to take the Shulchan Aruch's psach like the Ramban, and then we're going to plug in what we think the Ramban really meant. So do we have a right to do that or not? That's already one step more kal. So that was the machlokes of later poskim. So the Eglei Tal writes that he thinks that we who have the Teres HaAdam, and we see exactly what the Ramban said, and the Ramban was matter befavors even deraisas as long as it's done kiliach hayad, he thinks we have a right to follow the psach de Shulchan Aruch according to what he thinks is the authentic version of the Ramban. He thinks that if you're really stuck, it's always stuck. All these shayos are extenuating. Being sick is an extenuating circumstance, so it's always stuck. So the Eglei Tal writes that he thinks that if you're mamish stuck, and you want to violate a deraisa or de kiliach hayad for a chodesh ein b'sakana, he thinks that that would be okay. And Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Shmuel Shabbos Hilchos as agreeing to that psach. He thinks that your mamish stuck, there's no other eitzah, so he thinks that you could violate even a deraisa mamish ayidei kiliach hayad. And others disagree. Others, the Mishnah Brura is not mitiachais to that Teres HaAdam. The Mishnah Brura is not mitiachais to that Eglei Tal. Mishnah Brura just goes beikvas haShulchan Aruch, that we have no right to be more makel than the Shulchan Aruch itself. So the later poskim side with that Shulchan Aruch. So again, those who want to rely, it's always a Shasar Chak. I think Kedai of Shom Zalman is Mechalov, Kedai of Rital is Mechalov. So we rely on this. A lot of poskim today but rely on this Kula. Others didn't, but a lot of poskim rely on this Kula. You have Shailas, you have Chaylev and Maisaluch, and you have to start turning on lights, Kiliach HaYad, you have to start turning on machinery, Kiliach HaYad, all kinds of kunsum, different things, Kiliach HaYad, which sometimes involves a potential deraisas, as long as Kiliach HaYad is going to be in the Ikra Din. Okay, again, not everyone agrees to this. I think those who want to rely, I'm sure Mazam would have a right to rely, have a right to rely on this. What about if all else fails, and we're not even doing Kiliach HaYad, we want to do a mamash of the rabbanon beferish behedya, mamash in a normal fashion. So it's a shasat chagodah. We have no another way. There's no way out of it. So do we have a right to rely on the mekilim against the Ramban? So the Shulchan Aruch is not making it like that. Shulchan Aruch just writes halachas like the Ramban at kan v'lo yesh. So Shulchan Aruch is not making it like those rishonim. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadim, who says that when mamish mamish all else fails and we can't get anything, there's no other way to help this chodesh and b'sakana. So we can mamish do the Rabbanans also, even real Rabbanans, even regular Rabbanans. So yesh halacha like that also. So there's a lot of kulos for chodesh and b'sakanas. We have kula number one, Amir Yaakov, that's the Beferish Gemara that everyone agrees to. Then you have kula number two is the Ramban, which again, the machlekes, the nuances in the later poskim, what the Ramban did or didn't mean. And then you have number three, the Chayadim, the Shemuru say that when mamash oils fails, you can even be matir outright the Rabbanans, even be adayim in a normal fashion, as long as the person is a chodesh and b'sakana. We cannot be matir, you can't be matir right. That's totally completely out of the question. But any of these kinds of the Rabbanans, so there are different opinions to this. This is all assuming that the person is a chole she'ein b'sakana. How do you define a chole she'ein b'sakana? Not every little headache, little stomachache is a chole she'ein b'sakana. So the Ramah writes that a good way to gauge whether a person is a chole she'ein b'sakana is that he's nafal mishkov, that he's mamish, he's bedridden. And the guy feels so miserable, so sick, he's got to lay in bed. That's called enough of a chole she'ein b'sakana. So sometimes you have people who should be laying in bed, but they can't because they have six kids to take care of. So women tend to be nafal mishkov without literally being nafal mishkov. So you have to measure, you have to gauge whether the person should be bedridden or not right now. And if the person's running a very, very low fever, that's usually not nafal mishkov. The person's running a high fever, even though it's not necessarily a pikuach nevesh, sometimes a high fever, an unexplained high fever could be pikuach nevesh. The Shmir Shabbos gives you a list of 15, 20 examples. The Shmir Shabbos wasn't a doctor. He's just giving you an example of 15, 20 common scenarios of chashash to pikuach nefesh. So he talked about broken bones, a broken leg or something, because they're broken arm. Those things could potentially be pikuach nefesh, because a broken leg can sometimes impact an artery. The bone could cut against an artery or something, but it could be hemorrhaging, and you wouldn't know it. So you have to figure it out. What's considered to be. So it gives you a couple of guidelines from the doctors that he consulted with. So one of the guidelines that he says is if it's a high fever. So he says, what's called a high fever? It's 102, sometimes, whatever their number is. A high fever is pikuach nefesh. So remember years ago, we were learning the sugyas of Chol and Shabbos in Rosh HaKolol. This goes back many, it's probably been done a few times since then. But this goes back to the late 80s, I think. So the Rebbe Willig was giving shiurim the whole summer about the father's son of Chol and Shabbos. And then he invited, or one Sunday, he invited Dr. Greyjoy. Dr. Greyjoy was a famous doctor in Riverdale, where Willie's, famous Balabatim. So Dr. Greyjoy, that particular summer, was one of the camp doctors in Marasha. So Willie invited him to come over to the Kollel to give the doctor's comments on the Shmir Shabbos. So he went through every one of the 15 cases of the Shmir Shabbos and saying what his medical input was. So I remember at the time, so when he was commenting on the fever part, so he said, it depends. He said he wouldn't put it at an objective number 102. He would say that it depends on the context. Namely, he was very focusing on the unexplained fever. So he said, if a guy, a person's got the flu, he knows he has the flu already. Sure, he has the flu. He's got all the symptoms of the flu. He tested positive for the flu, whatever it is. And he's running a high fever. So again, if they're a person, let's say, with diabetes, and an older person, other potential complications, so you have to take high fevers very, very seriously. But they're a really healthy person, and they know for a fact that they're running a flu, but they're running high fever because they have X, Y, and Z. So that in and of itself is not a cause of concern. When a fever could be a cause of concern, dealing with diabetic or something, dealing with other kind of complications, even a lower than 102 could be a warning sign, or like an unexplained fever. All of a sudden, a person's got a mamash out of nowhere, a person's running a fever, and that could sometimes be indicative of something potentially catastrophic. So it doesn't necessarily have to be written in stone 102. You have to contact the doctor and see. So the doctor may assess and say that an unexplained fever or a fever that's accompanying other kinds of signs that could be indicative of some infection or something. So a guy has some throbbing redness in a part of his body and he's running a fever. So that's indicative that the infection could be very serious. So that could potentially be pikuach nefesh. So rather than viewing fever as a sole criteria, it should be put together as a part of a general diagnostic picture. Again, if you're not a doctor and you can't make that assessment, the doctor's not around. So like everything else, you have to earn the side caution.
What would be a matam sor to go like the chayyadim to do it to rabbanim? That's like a matam sor, but not as matam sakan.
The person's very, very uncomfortable, or it's an older person or something, or it's a little baby, and he's a big tzrachim. The person's very, very uncomfortable. So we're not mechuyav to be more machmir than the chayyadim in the Mishnah. So usually a good criteria is whether the person has to lay in bed or not. Sometimes you have a situation where a person is not laying in bed per se, but they're not functioning properly. It means they're not what they would like to do, they're just not able to do. They're not able to eat, they're not able to sleep, they're not able to, if the person is mamish rabish having trouble sleeping, so the post can say that's enough for the mishkov. At the end, they're not full of mishkov. They can't be not full of mishkov. They can't fall asleep. That's also a shtickle chayil shein b'sakana. There is a Maharam in Ruthenberg that says that when we deal with issues of a chayil shein b'sakana, we don't have to wait for the person to become sick. The doctors have a phrase that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So the Maharam Ruthenberg accepted that also. He said that if you have a person who is in a position that they're going to get sick, they're going to become a chalash emir sakana. So to prevent them from becoming a chalash emir sakana, you're also allowed to do whatever the rabbanans are allowed to do. Whatever you think the definition is, Amir Yaakov, Mikal Echayaz, the Raisit, the rabbanans, other rabbanans, whatever you think is mutter for chalash emir sakana, so to prevent the person from becoming a chalash emir sakana would also be acceptable. So therefore the Maharam Ruthman had his famous cooler that I call chalim etzatzina, that if it's very cold, so people tend to get sick when it's very cold. So the Maharam Ruthenberg said that you're allowed to ask the guard to turn on the fire in the house. It's Friday night. You put it in wood on Friday afternoon. You didn't put it enough. Now it's freezing cold. So you're allowed to ask the guard to throw in logs into the fire. The Mamash Baloch, the Rice, and Vavara. That's okay. That's a merely Akabokam Chol. Everyone's fine. Everyone's fine now. In the morning, everyone's going to have a cold. Everyone's going to become sick. So even though the doctors will tell you that idea that because it's cold you get sick is not exactly in medicine. You get sick because you're exposed to germs. So that is the correct reason why a person becomes sick. So either exposed to whatever it is, whether it's bacterial infection or viral infection, whatever the case may be. So what does that mean? So it depends. You have to talk to the doctors about this. So some of the doctors will save you something along the lines of if a person's resistance is lower and they can't fight back. It's not because it's cold. Like your grandmother told you, because it's cold outside, therefore you catch pneumonia. You catch pneumonia because you're exposed to pneumonia. That's why you catch pneumonia. But when your body is weakened, so then your body may not be able to fight as well. So some people do have that constitution that whenever they get exposed to cold, so they end up getting sick. Not because the cold gets them sick, but because they're exposed to cold, it weakens their bodies. So again, you have to talk to the doctors about the nuances of this. So you'll get different answers probably about how exactly what that means. But the bottom line is the Maharam Ruthenberg already sized up. If it's very, very cold, so you're allowed to turn on the heat for that. So we're making on that to have a merely yakum for going to turn up the heat in the house, even though very often involved in lachas deraisas, you're turning on boilers and maiselach. But Miliak would be mutter if it's very, very cold. Sometimes you have a situation where you left the air conditioning on and it's mamish freezing in the house, so especially the older people or babies. So that could also be a concern of a kochol metzotzina as well. There are some people who just objectively are considered to be like a chalashem risokot, even though there's nothing wrong with them. So a significantly older person always has trouble, so the etzrachim are considered to be a chalashem risokana, or a little baby is also considered to be chalashem risokana. There are different opinions in the poskim as to how old the baby has to be in order to be left that category. Obviously, if the kid's 25 years old, so he's no longer a baby. On the other hand, I usually tell people it depends on how often this kid tends to get sick. Younger kids end up by the pediatrician in the wintertime, usually every third day. So people are still in that, they're constantly getting ear infections. Between ear infections, strep, and the flu, and used to be other things that we used to be concerned about, hopefully not anymore. So between a combination of different kinds of infections that tend to go around, and this kid every other week he's missing a couple of days of school, so that's still considered to be like a kid that Reb Bachshem has reached past that point of his pediatric career, that he's not there every other day, so maybe he's not considered to be a tzarech echad anymore. So again, it's hard to write numbers in stone. Some svarim write 8 years old, 5 years old, 2 years old. I'm not sure where those numbers exactly come from, so I think it's in the dayan al-masha in evros in terms of the constitution of this particular kid. Because little babies are for sure considered to be like the chalashim b'sukkana, that's why we're very, very makil in terms of, like, sometimes you have like creams, like babies have diaper rashes and stuff like that. So the shmir in diaper cream is most probably is only the rabbanon anyway, but that's already a question of the machik. it's probably not a deraisa anyway. So we do kaliach hayad. You shmir in kaliach hayad, so that definitely have a right to be makel on. Even according to Shulchan Aruch, it could be makel on that because the whole shmir of the krims anyway is probably the rabbanon doing kaliach hayad. It's the rabbanon and the rabbanon, and therefore for mokum chayla, those kinds of things would be permissible. So up until now we've been discussing Chodesh Yesh B'Sagana and Chodesh Yesh B'Sagana, and there are nuances and differences. Obviously, we make it a lot less for Chodesh Yesh B'Sagana than Yesh B'Sagana. Then there's a third category of Chol, who's not really a Chol, called a Michosh B'Alma. So Michosh B'Alma means a person who's just uncomfortable. His allergies are bothering him. He's got a stomach ache, a headache, those kinds of things. Okay, so it's Michosh B'Alma. What do we matter for Michosh B'Alma? Nothing really. And a Michosh B'Alma is not even a Chol, therefore we cannot be matter outright soon for him. Fakert, being a Michosh B'Alma, may almost make things worse for him, because one of the things that that always comes up in discussion of a Michosh B'Alma and Chaylim is the issue of medicine. So we know there's a Takanas HaChamim, there was a Gezerim with the Rabbanim not to take medicine in Shabbos and Yontif. The Gezerim was instituted because of Shechikah Samman. We're afraid that in the olden days they used to grind up the medicines of the Malach of Teichin. So they asked him with the Rabbanim all taking of medicine. But they built in certain coolers into that Issadir Rabbanon. We'll have to see, we'll have to elaborate a little bit more as to who is included in that cooler, who's not considered in that cooler. There is a general question that the later Pesukim raised in the last generation or so, whether this Issadir Rabbanon even applies to this man himself. Why would one think that maybe this Issadir doesn't apply? So there was a Mishnah Beitza that says you're not allowed to dance and clap and do those kinds of things with as a gezeri, you may come Shemi Sat Klashir. We speak about this by Machmel Patash. We talk about this. No. Okay. So one of the gezeiros of Machmel Patash is Shemi Sat Klashir. You may come to fix an instrument. So Taisus has a famous comment in Beitza that this man is that a lot of people dance and clap and do all these kinds of things in Shabbos and Yontif, and they're not worried about Shemi Sat Klashir. Why is that? So Taisus writes because we don't know how to fix instruments today. We're not such experts in fixing instruments, and therefore we're not so worried about this gezeiros Shemi Sat Klashir. So the Sefer Ketzayis HaShulchan, Reb Chaim Noah, about Pluk of the Chazanish and a lot of the Shirub and stuff. So Reb Chaim Noah raises the question in the Sefer, maybe the Gezeirah medicine should fall by the wayside also. Nobody chops up herbs today. Most people go to the store, you buy Talmud. So if you're not chopping up herbs, so maybe the whole Gezeirah of Shem Yisak Klashia maybe shouldn't apply. All medicine should be mutter. So Ketzayis HaShulchan tries to show you, he's got 50 pages about why it's the same as the music, but not the same as music, back and forth, back and forth. And at the end of the day, we're generally not making on this. We usually assume that this gezer for some reason is different. So you have to figure out why some gezer is yes, some gezer is no. So there are some who suggest, and Rabbi Willig suggested this, that even though we may not necessarily accept that possibility, but it does give us a right to look at medicine shahs a little bit more leniently. We have certain shahs in Uchus medicine, maybe we're not 100% sure as mutter, it's almost like a shtichel sniffle, a shtichel snake spake. Maybe that side is right, maybe the whole medicine doesn't apply to medicine. So we're not outright mater medicine on Shabbos, but maybe we look at medicine through a little bit more lenient eyes. So what are some of the coolest in terms of medicine? So we'll have to talk about this for a little bit next week. We talk about the differences between Chodesh Ein B'Sagana versus Michosh B'Alma versus Baris in terms of medicine. And then I think we have, next week is the last week, right? I think so. So we have to knock off all of Amir Yaakov next week. Okay, so we have to finish up Chola and as part of the syllabus. So, okay, we'll figure it out next week. I will do that. Okay.
An hour.
And then we'll see you next week. Okay, we'll do that next week. One word today, we can worry about next week. Okay.